May the last one burn into flames. What is up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Do you know that you don't only have to listen? You can watch the show to see all of the crazy faces I make. We stream it live on the Civic Media channel on YouTube. You can also find the show streaming at my Facebook handle, at Maggie Dawn Show, on the Book of Faces. It's also on the thing that we used to call Twitter. I don't know what it is. I just call it a swamp or a sewer now. Who knows? I'm also on Blue Sky because that's a lot less weird. AOC hitting the first person on Blue Sky to hit 1 million followers today. Kind of cool. If you haven't been on the Blue Sky, go check it out. Again, the handle's at Maggie Dawn Show. You can find me on the Twit still. And sometimes having a little bit of a freak out. I enjoy that. And occasionally on the gram as well. All those socials. Today, we got a great show for you. I did a little bit of reorganization of the order of what we're going to talk about today. Yesterday, folks, I said we're going to start top of show by talking about your favorite local and state charities as it is Giving Tuesday. We're going to hold that just because I had to get these two great guests in to help us with some really interesting conversations about some recent news. So if you have favorite local charities, do not despair. First of all, you can text those in and I will shout them out. Cardi and I will try to keep a running list. If you start texting those in now, we're going to try to keep a running tally of those. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But if you want to make a personal, you want to personally attest to the impact of a particular local charity, I have a few that I've been personally involved with over my many years as a Milwaukee resident. We're going to do that at about 3:40, 3:45 today. Okay, so we will do that. It'll be basically how we close up the show because it is such an important part, I think, of any holiday season to figure out how we can all give back. And the important thing here is that these things are not just about the money, honey, although money is always appreciated in your giving to charities, but it's also opportunities to volunteer either yourself or you and some friends, your family over this holiday season. Excuse me, got a little frog in my throat this afternoon. Again, that's going to kick off today at about 3:40. So get your favorite local charities ready to go, y'all. We're going to do that. I'll share with you some of mine. Cardi might have a couple of his favorite charities in and around the Milwaukee area. But whether you're from Rhinelander to Racine, Wausau to Waukesha, we want to hear all about it. Again, that's going to kick off at about 3:40, 3:45 today. It's how we'll end the show together. You can always find real news and great conversation right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I got two fabulous guests today to help us do just that. We had breaking news yesterday, literally as I got on the air. Act 10 basically being not just ruled unconstitutional, but the judge who found it unconstitutional back in July saying, yeah, the law can't be severed. We can't void parts of it. The whole thing goes. And that was what his decision was about. Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here with me and each and every one of you right now to help us dive into this. If you have thoughts about Act 10, good, bad, questions, because it's a wee bit complicated, I absolutely want to hear from you, okay? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And I'll tell y'all, I have a really interesting perspective on Act 10 because I started... my work in local government right after Act 10 took effect back in 2011. That's when I started at the City of Milwaukee. I then ran one of the City of Milwaukee's retirement plans, so something that had been impacted by Act 10, albeit a little bit indirectly. I didn't run the pension. I did advise the pension when I first started at the city, so I know about that. I then moved to Milwaukee County, where we still had public safety unions. We negotiated their collective bargaining agreements every year. And we had general service employees who weren't in unions bargaining for their whole panoply of benefits. So I have seen every angle of the impact of Act 10, and we can have a really good and candid conversation about that. But I want to bring Dan in. Thanks so much for making time, Dan. Really appreciate it. Help us, can you set the stage a little bit for those of us who don't remember those wild times back after Scott Walker was elected in November of 2010 and what then came afterwards? There were weren't just a couple of 2-3 protests, weren't there? Did some legislators leave the state? I think I remember something about that.
Yeah, it was this small little thing that happened in Wisconsin. Only, you know, what was it, 100,000 people converging on the Capitol to protest against this law. Obviously, a huge, huge seismic change for the state of Wisconsin when Walker pushed Act 10 through that banned most collective bargaining among public employees. Pretty much gave massive pay cuts to pretty much everybody in the public sector in the state of Wisconsin as well. And yeah, it was obviously extremely controversial. It led to the recall attempt for Scott Walker. Really was the signature law passed under Scott Walker's first term as governor in the state of Wisconsin. And yeah, it is kind of discombobulating, right?
It is very discombobulating, Dan.
To have this overturned at this moment, you know, obviously the changes in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the changes with the, you know, kind of different approaches brought forth here. And so when I saw this news come across yesterday, I know this case had been discussed in so many ways and had been challenged in a variety of different ways. And this particular one, claiming that it violates the right to equal protection of the law to keep Act 10 intact. One of the key aspects of Act 10 was that it approached things differently for public employees based on, you know, basically the police and fire kind of had their own carve out here where the Act 10 changes did not apply to them in the same way as they did for all of the rest of the, you know, kind of teachers and other state employees and in public sector unions. And because of that, that has led to the biggest decline in union membership of any state in the country. I think It was the Wisconsin Policy Forum identified that no state saw a larger decline in the number of its workforce that is unionized than Wisconsin over the past decade or so. So it has had a profound effect on the state. Now, what my question is, and what has me especially discombobulated now, is what material difference does this change have on people? Because we know it's going to get appealed.
Right.
Right. We know this is going to go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Obviously, you know, this will be a huge factor in the spring election for the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court, since this is back in the spotlight. But here's my question to you, and you're having the legal expertise and the experience that you have.
Let's underpromise, Dan. Let's underpromise.
What material difference does this have now versus, you know, 48 hours ago before this happened?
So immediately none, zero, because it's going to be appealed, right? It will eventually go up to the state Supreme Court. But I think one of the things to help put this all into perspective is to look back on what did Act 10 do to, perhaps is a better construction, general service public employees. That meaning those that work in government at the local or state level that were not police and fire, okay? That's the question, because it basically created two classes of employees. You had police and fire that still had all of the bargaining rights that they have always had for their union. They were explicitly carved out. Every other public sector employee basically lost the right to bargain for anything other than a COLA adjustment. So what that means is you could still join a union. But why the hell am I going to pay union dues if the only thing it's ever going to get me is a little COLA bump? Like, you know, union dues, I have a couple of friends who are teachers. They still belong to MTEA. Union dues would get them, you know, the COLA bump. Maybe if they got sued, they would get representation from the union in addition to from MPS. But, I mean, for many people, I think they've had a hard time articulating what union benefit they gained after Act 10. That was the point, right? Like, union membership therefore dropped precipitously. This was a union busting law, plain and simple. That's
absolutely
right. And that's what it was. And the context here, and Dan, if you disagree at all, like, pipe in additional color commentary. The context here was a brass knuckled political deal, right? It was a political deal between police and fire unions and Scott Walker and the Republicans. And basically, like, we'll keep supporting you and oppose a recall as long as you leave our stuff alone. Like, don't take any of our stuff, meaning our ability to bargain and argue for increased pension amounts, increased pension contributions, et cetera, et cetera. You just leave our goodies alone. You can screw all other public employees and we'll continue to support you. And that's exactly what's happened. Here's the other big meta context that I don't want us to miss. And then I want to quantify a little bit what it means for what it meant for general service employees as soon as we couldn't bargain for pension benefits or all those other things, right? It also was the first step under the Walker administration with a gerrymandered control of the state legislature. Remember, right to work then came right after Act 10, right? That was after Walker survived the recount, or excuse me, the recall, recounts and recalls. We have all these things here in Wisconsin. Survived the recall, right? And then he did right to work. Right to work sounds like, well, I have a right to work. What it was more, all of this should just be called union busting legislation because that's what it was.
And there was the famous moment in that documentary, I believe, the As Goes Wisconsin documentary produced in the early 2010s that showed Scott Walker talking to one of his biggest donors, Diane Hendricks, saying, like, you know, she was asking him, when are we going to get to deal with the right to work law? And he said explicitly to her that we're going to do divide and conquer. So that was the strategy to divide and conquer and divide the state. But, you know, is union the traditionally Democratic union base of the state and try to run over them in that way.
And it's been
way.
Incredibly successful. We've seen the fracturing of the vote. We're going to talk more about the actual monetary implications of Act 10 and what this might mean if upheld on appeal. For public employees. I was once one. I was in your shoes, y'all. We're going to talk about it more with political editor Dan Schaefer. Keep it locked right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.